Thank you for joining the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our worship today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the close of the program. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday and worship with us. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
My theme for today's sermon is Divine Counsel for a Secular People. It's based on the portion of God's Word found in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verses 33 to 46. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, in so much of life, we seek after a counselor, for we do not know the way, and we do not know how we should move or what we should do in a given situation. Today, O God, we thank you for your word, that word that gives us divine counsel, that word that brings us to the foot of the cross, where we see the Savior and all of his love. Speak to us then, and be our counselor, is our prayer. In Christ's name, amen.
God's Son has made me free. God's Son has made me free from Satan's tyranny, from fear of death and bonds of sin, from all that plagues my soul within. The Holy One Divine became a friend of mine. From heaven high, from starry sky, he came to live, to die. Oh, boundless love, he came, he died, he rose forever glorified. He came to give, to die that I might live. From heaven high, from starry sky, he came to die that I might live.
Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 21st chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, beginning with verse 33. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a winepress for it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owners of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at the harvest time. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes.' Therefore I tell you that the wisdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruits worthy of it. He who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but he on whom it falls will be crushed. Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
O Zion, haste, thy mission I fulfilling, to tell to all the world that God is light, that he who made all nations is not willing one soul should perish, lost in shades of night. Publish glad tidings of peace, tidings of Jesus, redemption and release.
Friends in Christ, the years in the ministry have taught me that a pastor can select certain texts from God's Word, interpret them according to his liking, and make his congregation very comfortable. If he has average communicative skills, he could have a huge following. He could be sought after by many people. But at the end of his ministry, he would have failed to have communicated what we sometime in the theological world call the whole counsel of God. But what does a preacher do when people want a steady diet of sermons that are positive and uplifting, especially if it means denying some of Jesus' basic teachings which confront us with reality? That's why I am so happy for the assigned text that people who are in the clergy should give consideration to Sunday after Sunday. Not that we just choose those texts that will make Christianity so easy, but rather that we will have the whole counsel of God before us, and there we will have to deal with what God is saying through law and gospel. Today's text is a good example of another part of the counsel of God. What do we do with the words of God that Jesus has spoken? If you put them in the vernacular, you don't know what they would say. What he was really saying to his people was, "Shape up, you rebels, or I'm going to take your inheritance and give it to some other people." Now, was he really pushing the positive button at that time? Did these words lift their spirits? How do you present this thought to comfort those who are already disturbed and want their preacher to refrain from dealing with the realities of life? The point is that Jesus does speak to reality. And so a society has to face it if that society wants to know what Jesus is really talking about. If we take his words seriously, there are many of them that can be extremely offensive. Now, in our text today, God is dealing with Israel. And if we were to summarize it and to put it into a nice little story, it would go something like this. God would say, "You know, when I had finished creating the world, I then decided that I wanted to create people. And I wanted to make them in my image. I wanted them to be intelligent. And we could have fellowship together. They could think. They could make a decision. They would be eternal." They were not little gods, but they had some other marks of God. And that's the way we were going to have lived. But you know, Satan came and messed up this whole thing. And the results were that, as you well know, the human being decided that he was going to go Satan's way, and so he resisted what God had said, and he fell into sin, and that sin separated the creation from the Creator. So the person then with that sin is out of a relationship with God, because God, who is holy, can have nothing to do with a sinful people. Did he discard them? Did he say, "No more, you wretched beings"? No. But rather than that, he sent his Son into the world to be the Savior, to bring them back. And he did this in a very natural way. He took a man by the name of Abraham. And he said to Abraham, "I'm going to make of you a great kingdom, a great nation. And out of you and your descendants will come eventually the Savior of the world." And that's exactly what happened. So in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born. This was a God incarnate who came to this earth. But before he came, God sent servants. And these servants are described in our text today. These servants were the prophets. They came and told the people of Israel that they were living contrary to the will of God. But they told them that there would come one who would be Christ, and that Christ would forgive them their sins and restore them into fellowship with God. Well, they didn't treat the prophets very well. They stoned them. They imprisoned them. They killed them. And then finally, God said, "Well, I will send my own Son." And when Jesus Christ came, he granted to them the forgiveness of their sins because he died on that cross. He offered them the forgiveness of sin. But rather, they turned away from him. When they turned away and they continued in their sin, then listen to St. Paul. Now that gift that had once been offered in a very exclusive way to Israel was given to all people. Paul writes, "There is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." In another situation, Paul says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Wow! That was not how to win friends and influence people. The Bible says the Pharisees looked for a way to arrest him after that. And it wasn't long before Jesus was nailed to the cross. But here it was again. Repent of your sins. Turn to him. Receive him as your Savior and your Lord. And all is forgiven, and you are restored into fellowship with God. That is divine counsel for a secular people thousands of years ago, and it's with us today. Come to Christ. He'll forgive you your sin. He'll make you a brand new person. He'll make life exciting. Only a few days ago, a lady sitting in her beautiful living room said to me, "When I was married to my husband, I was not a Christian. But during the course of our married life together, he was used by God to bring me to Christ Jesus. And now it's an entirely different life." In other words, a blessing came to that individual. Listen, people, here is divine counsel for a secular people. It may not be what you and I want to hear all the time when we open the scriptures, when we go to our churches and hear the whole counsel of God proclaimed. It may not be a positive thought that boosts your spirits for another week, but it is reality. And your future relationship with God as a nation and as individuals is before us. God speaks to us. He says that I love you. But that love does not mean that I will overlook your sin. What are those sins, you may ask? Well, take a look at them. Not those that we manufacture ourselves, but what God has listed in his word. Turn to the fifth chapter of Paul's letter to the Galatians. Here they are. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Top of the list, sexual immorality. That's what separates us from God. How is that in our nation? Pick up your newspaper and you read one story after another about immorality. Go to the stores. Go through the checkout counters. Look at some of that material that is there for you to buy. Sexual immorality. Impurity. Idolatry. That is putting someone or something else before God. That's sin. And God says that sin separates. And there's no way that you can have the blessings that I have offered to you if you live in that sin. And then some that, oh man, this is so difficult. Selfishness. Isn't that easy for some of the rest of us who don't have so much trouble with some of these outward sins that so often are right before us? But selfishness, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. Just take a look at our blessed nation. And when you stop and think of how he has blessed us, does that text possibly address the United States of America? Is that text saying, you know, it's entirely possible that you who have been so blessed will lose that blessing and I will give it to someone else? We turn our backs against the Word of God. Often our churches are poorly attended. But those who have gone to Africa and have listened to the church there and what's going on, they come back and they tell us that people walk for miles. And they sit and listen to a sermon, services that sometimes last for 2 or 3 hours. They can't get enough of the Word of God. And yet we take it so lightly. You see, friend, that old text is not something that gives us a positive thought, but rather it gives us this something that can cause fear in the soul of some of us, that God can possibly take away those good things from our land and give it to someone else. Or take it away from the national standpoint and the individual. That if I as an individual continually take the position that I'm not going to take God seriously, how long does he continue with us? That's the question. What do we do with it? Israel religious leaders would not listen to the prophets as they pointed out their sin, but they pointed to God's forgiveness grace too. They didn't want that either. And so they beat them, they stoned them, they killed them. And then Jesus came and they nailed him to the cross. What will we do as a nation? Will we continue turning our back on Jesus Christ? Will we treat his message as though it is not relevant for our particular age? Could it be that we will follow the voice and the counsel, human counsel, to secular people, who, for example, in the mouths of the humanists say, oh, you're not that sinful person that the Christian faith wants you to think you are. Rather, you are a faithful people, and you are God's gift to this world. Just look at all the nice things that you have done for humanity. Rather, we would rather take a look at the writings of the nihilist. Those people who say there is no such a thing as an absolute. Now that means then that we're freed up. There is no guilt consciousness. You don't have to worry about that this is right or this is wrong. You are told to be able to adjust to what your culture is offering to you at that particular time. Rather than take the word of God, the nihilists speak something that itching ears like to hear. Or maybe it even can be some of the teachings of a few of theologians in our day. Not all of them now. We have some very, very committed people teaching in our seminaries. But there are also some who are there now who have been there for a long time. Now, they have a bundle of degrees, but they have no personal relationship with God. They tell us that God is a universalist, that God is not going to damn anybody. He is not going to punish anyone. How do you interpret a text like the one that we have today? Well, you don't bother to interpret it. You just plain overlook it. He will gather his sons and his daughters home, if there is a home. Is that uplifting message that you want to hear? That a person can live and die outside of Jesus Christ and ultimately get into the kingdom of heaven? Not according to the word of God. That's a word. That's a word that came from a loving Savior. That Savior who first confronted his own people with the reality of sin and what it can do. But also that Savior who came first to his own people and now to you and me and says, the wages of sin is death. That's exactly where it always ends up. Sin will only destroy. But listen again. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the gospel. That's what he offers to us. That's the uplifting message. That is a positive thought that you and I can take the word of God seriously, as it is, face reality. And when we see our shortcomings, then on bended knee, we can turn to Jesus Christ and in Christ hear him say, receive me and we will live forever. That's the light that our Father has in his windows that beams into our hearts and gives us a peace which passes all understanding. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you that out of love, you have revealed to us our sin and also your glorious forgiveness. Help us to understand that your unspeakable gift to us is Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As a nonprofit ministry, we are supported by gifts from you, our listeners. Our faithful listeners have financed this ministry for 66 years. We thank each of you for your prayers and your generous offerings. October is calendar month for Christian Crusaders. We would like to send you a free 2003 calendar featuring nature scenes from national parks across the country with brilliant four-color photos. This calendar highlights an inspiring Bible verse each month. To receive your free calendar, just call our toll-free number 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. We will need your name, your mailing address, and the station where you hear Christian Crusaders. Cassette tapes, CDs, or printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, Post Office Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free phone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Christian Crusaders invites you to find out more about our ministry on the internet. Our website is there to serve you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders for the past 40 years.